Thank you, thank you. Good evening. Hey, I'm excited. You excited? Yeah. Hey, that's good. More than just you and me that it's excited. That's fantastic. Hey, that's good. That's good. Thank you very much, the music team. Wasn't it great singing in the, well, I was mouthing, but singing in the Papua New Guinea. Yeah? You know, it's great. I'm a missionary man. I spend most of my time over in Southeast Asia. They're praising and worshipping in different languages. Burmese, Nepali, Indian. It's really good. Yeah, I love it when you're just there because you can just go off in prayer. You can enjoy it. You recognize a few of the words. And sometimes they're taking the English songs and they're translating it. And you think, I recognize that tune. Now, what is it? So you get the Google out and you're sort of thinking, oh, yeah, that's the words. And you're singing in English while they're singing in their own language. It is fantastic. It's going to be so good when we get to heaven because we'll all understand each other. But thank you. Let's have more of it. It's really good. Amen. Thank you to the YWAM team. Great affinity with the YWAM team. Youth with a Mission. Again, in a work in Southeast Asia, we're alongside the YWAM teams, we're alongside the Operation Mobilizations team, the Old Campus Crusades for Christ, and Compassion in India. But sadly, they got kicked out for various reasons, for being too evangelistic. What a reason to get kicked out of a country. Amen? But they're going to come back with vengeance because the Holy Spirit will win in the end there. It's going to be fantastic. And thank you for Joe for your testimony. Particularly like the bit when he said, you young people over there, and pointed at me. I take it, I wear it. I'm Tim, I'm 58 years old, I'm a citizen of heaven, but I'm on a sojourn through this world. Amen? And that's the way to be, YWAMers, just be on a sojourn through this world, because we are going to go to heaven one day. And Ben this morning was talking about his love of movies and how it speaks. Just by chance, I was flicking through Netflix with Carol the other day and we saw, what was it? Left Behind. Nicolas Cage on there, not exactly a great movie, but I thought, oh, well, let's watch that one. And it was quite interesting. You know, Nicolas Cage, he's the lookalike, the doppelganger for Brian Houston, if anybody's noticed that similarity. Yeah? Yeah, I said to Brian Houston, you look like Nicolas Cage. And he looked at me and went, brother, I'll pray for you. But Nicolas Cage, one of his brothers is actually a pastor, and it's not Brian Houston. But the striking thing about this movie was the rapture happened. And no one seemed to know what it was. You know, you go an hour and 10 minutes through the movie, and no one's going, I know what happened. You know, so does everybody here know what the rapture is? Who doesn't know what the rapture is? Everybody knows. That's good. So we're all ready. Yeah. So it doesn't matter when it happens. It's what we're doing when it happens. And Jimmy, James, don't sit under the fan, okay? Because we don't know when Jesus is coming back. Always look up. Yeah. Amen. But hey, that's good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. It's been a great day. Yeah. Today is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It's 7 o'clock here. The day is nearly over, but there's still more word and fellowship and power of the Spirit to fall. In America, it's probably about 3 in the morning still, so they haven't even woken up yet. So they're going to start their day, but we're going to be ahead of them because we're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit falling on here today. Amen? Amen. Amen. So when Pastor Ben, oh, wow, that was good this morning. Thank you, Ben. He left us with the armor of God. Who is here this morning? A few of you, okay, most of you, okay. For those of you who aren't, as we ended, there was the full armor of God. We're going to be talking about zeal and faith today. Amen? Zeal and faith. We're going to have some fun with it. It's going to be more fun than that message on fasting, because that fasting message, well, you know, made me feel hungry. But remember what you were taught, because Thursday is the 1st of March. Another 21 days of fasting and prayer is going to start. Bring it on, Joe says. Bring it on. We're going to start fasting and praying again from next Thursday for another 21 days, in whichever way you choose to fast. Just honor it in yourself and honor God with it, because it's your duty to yourself. Amen? And we're going to be touched. We're going to hear testimonies of what's happening in people's lives from the fasting and praying. We're seeing it in a church already. Whenever Joe, Ben, myself come, there's a unity in the message that's coming through. And it's just coming through with such power. It's growing and growing and growing. We're just going to see the Holy Spirit move in fantastic ways. Amen. So let's start with each one of our individual lives. Amen. Okay, so the full armor of God. If we can have a slide up, please, with Ephesians 6, 1 to 17. Is that possible, Joash? So we all know the full armor of God. Yes, amen. Anybody not know the full armor of God? No, we've got, okay, well, don't worry about the slide. We'll just talk through it. So we have the helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace. Yeah? Got those ones? Got the shield of faith and a sword of the spirit. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through to 18. So what's striking about the armor? When we look at the pictures of the full armor of God, we imagine the Roman soldier or the knights of old, that sort of thing. But these guys, as we read about Saul and David and the others, they had an armor bearer. And just a little skip back here. Last week about this time when Ben was preaching, I was scribbling notes down and I was writing about the full armor of God just when I was should be listening to Ben, but you know, the mind goes off. But it's all in the spirit anyway. So I was writing that down last week. So it's amazing that I was going to put this as an introduction and Ben finished off with it. It's just how things are working and how things are hanging together. But what I noticed last week when I was looking at it, the Holy Spirit was saying to me, and we've been talking about righteousness and we've been talking about faith and we've been talking about fasting and praying. The breastplate of righteousness, the armor bearer would put it on your chest if you were the knight or the soldier. The helmet of salvation, the armor bearer would have put it on your head, fitted it on you. The belt of truth, he would have put around you and done it up, made sure it was tight and secure. And the armor bearer would have put your shoes on because by then you couldn't bend down yourself and they'd have strapped it on to make sure they're not going to kick off while you're having a good fight. All of these things were put on you. You didn't have to do any effort to dress yourself in them. And that's how it is in the spiritual realm. The God, he dresses you with his righteousness. He puts the breastplate of righteousness on. The helmet of salvation. He freely gives us salvation because we are saved by grace. We have to just receive it by faith. It's through that faith that we receive the helmet of salvation. The belt of truth. Jesus is the truth. Nothing we can do about it. We try to bend the truth, but it's there. It's all given to us. And the shoes of the gospel of peace. Well, of course, that's Jesus and his story. What he did on the cross for us. The salvation message. It's just all given to us. We put these things on at first. As a new Christian, they're a little bit uncomfortable because it's different from our worldview. Our worldview is changing. But things get comfortable. If we put a motorbike helmet on or different clothes, they feel uncomfortable at first. But then we get used to them. They become part of us. And that is how it is in the spiritual realm as well. Those parts of the armor eventually become comfortable. We know they were difficult to wear. You know, David tried to put on Saul's armor and it just wouldn't fit. It was just too big. It was too heavy, too cumbersome. But if the armor is made for you, it fits comfortably. It's part of you. It becomes part of your being. And we don't have to do anything to get it. We're equipped by God with those things. But when it comes to the shield of faith, we're told we're given a little bit of faith, a portion of faith to everybody. The armor bearer would lift that shield onto your arm and it's sitting there and you have to hold on to it. It's going to become heavy and go down, but you've got to put the effort in to keep that shield of faith up. That shield of faith, you can drop it down, you can throw it and it's no good to you, but if you keep it up, hold on to it tight. You can stand behind it. You've got the righteousness of God and you've got the shield of faith and you're ready to move on and fight the spiritual war. But you have to hold on to it. You have to put in the effort to do that. And the sword of the Spirit, because the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, the double-edged sword. Again, the armor bearer can hand it to you. We can be handed the word of God in printed form, electronic form. We can be told about it and hear it. But we have to grab the handle. We have to grasp the sword of the Spirit, the word of truth. We have to hold it. We have to hold it tight. Hold on to it. So what are we going to do when we hear the word of God? Are we just going to let it go and throw it away? Or are we going to hold on to that sword? And how are we going to use it when we hold on to it? We're going to wield it to the left and the right. It's double-edged and we can use it any way that we want. But we have to hold on to it. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, it's our responsibility how we're going to use those things. The rest of it is a free gift from God that he just cloaks us with and we have to become comfortable in it. So that was just thoughts that came to me last week. The shield is heavy, we may let it down, but God is there with us. He wants us to prevail. Yeah, we can get excited about these things. I do all the time. But our excitement can wane. Our zeal can just disappear. We all get fired up on a Sunday. We're going to do great things for God. It may be plans and hopes for the future, but come Monday, you know, we've had a good night's sleep or not, as the case may be, and we wake up tired or the pressure of the world comes back on us, and maybe we're not so enthusiastic as we hoped we would be the previous Sunday. The same in life, in business. We can be excited for something coming out of a business meeting. We can be excited in a sport or whatever, the Winter Olympics for some of the YWAMers there. You know, we can be excited, but then our interest wanes. And enthusiasm and motivation can take us a long way, but they do subside. We've all had that fired up experience, and then we feel tired and we don't actually do the things that we want to do, what we're motivated to do. There's always the following morning. So today, just after 7 o'clock, remember, you're going to be excited, you're going to be built up, there's going to be fantastic fellowship here, there's going to be a move of the Holy Spirit. So keep that zeal and excitement there in the morning. We're already tired and flagging. You know, Carol said to me, you can't go to sleep just yet. You've got to get up and preach. So I thought, oh, yes, darling. Okay, I will. Okay. But where there's faith, there is power. Amen. And we have to move on with that. Faith will drive zeal and enthusiasm. But zeal and enthusiasm will seldom drive faith. This morning, Pastor Ben, he also talked about Elijah running away from Jezebel and her threats. She sent word that I'm going to get you and sent a messenger just to rub it in and just sort of forewarn him that he's better watch out. And then we find in the word that he was hiding in a cave because he didn't want to be obviously killed. And he had enough, basically. His zeal and enthusiasm had gone to the degree that it was pulling his faith down. And that was in 1 Kings 19. And just following on from where Ben was reading, there's 1 Kings 19, verse 14. So here we are, we have it. And this is Elijah talking with God. God came and was talking with him in the still, quiet voice that Ben was talking about. And he said, that's Elijah, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone and left, and they seek to take my life. Well, that'd be pretty discouraging, wouldn't it? Elijah had zeal, we can see in the word. He was very zealous for the Lord and Israel. He thought he was alone, but God had told him in later verses that he'd actually kept aside 700 others that would not succumb to Baal. Elijah was not alone. He thought he was finished. He was ready to give up and die in that cave. But God had plans for him. So if your zeal is gone and your faith is waning, just think God has got a plan for you. Each and every one of you. You're not finished yet. No matter how tired you are, how your faith has gone down, there is a plan for you. He may have me to go to Joe in May in the mission trip, going up to PNG. What a trip, eh? Little Joe here, he was telling us about the villages in Papua New Guinea. I haven't been there myself yet. I look forward one day to going. Maybe with Ben, I'll be his Timothy. Paul had a Timothy. Ben needs a Timothy. I'll be there with him. Amen? Hey, we'll do that. And we'll go to the villages. I've been to the villages in northern Thailand, in Laos, in Myanmar or Burma, India, Nepal and everything. It's great going to the villages. They're fantastic. And Joe, in your testimony this morning, you said you had a bit of wacky-backy in your way gone past. In Nepal, the marijuana grows wild by the side of the road. But you don't pick it. It's just there. But to go on a mission trip, if you're thinking about it, what about 5 weeks' time, Joe? No, four. Yeah, about 5 to 7 weeks. Go. It's, what, $650? If you can't pull $650 in the next 6 weeks together to go to Papua New Guinea with a mission trip, well, what are you doing? Come on, just borrow it off friends and someone will give you it. Send. The word says, be a sender or a goer. So go with Joe. See the Holy Spirit move in amazing ways. You're not going there just to do things. You're there to experience what's happening. The people over there are going to bless you. When you go on a mission trip, you are getting blessed more than the blessing you're giving. I tell you, you're feeding the word, you're receiving the word. Why, Amos, is that true? You've all come from foreign countries to our wonderful country. Yeah. Try going to India. Whoa! No. But you do. You do. It's just fantastic. So think about it. Pull the money together and go with Joe. He wants a team. Alan's not here. He's coordinating a lot of it as well. Just get together with them. Exercise some of your faith. Open up new doors in the Holy Spirit. Be like Elijah. You may think you're finished with, but God has got plans for you. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah, what were those plans? You read the next few verses, which we won't put up on the slide, but there's homework for you. Because I encourage you to get into the Word, investigate. Whatever we say, check it out. I'm going to put a few wrong things in there on purpose so that you're going to catch me out and come to me. I go, yeah, that's one of them. Oh, didn't do that one on purpose. Thank you very much, brother, sister. I shall repent and I shall move on. But what did God want Samuel for? Elijah for? Well, he wanted him to anoint the future king of Syria. And then he wanted him to anoint the future king of Israel. That's Hazael and Jehu. And then, I want you to go out and get your replacement. You're not finished yet. You've got to get your replacement. You've got to inspire him. You've got to train him. You've got to build him up. And you are going to see him right so he can carry on the mantle. He's going to be the next prophet. And that, of course, is Elisha. And we know that heaven took Elijah in a fiery chariot. And then Elijah carried on the ministry with a double anointing. You think, you know, Elijah said to Elisha, what do you want? He said, well, I want a double anointing when you're gone. And he said, if you see my cloak come down as I ascend into heaven, you know you've got it. The cloak came down and he got it. He knew that he had the double anointing. The first thing he did practically with the coat, he picked it up and he slapped the River Jordan and the waters were parted. But if you read the Bible, read about Elijah's ministry, read about Elisha's ministry, and you'll see written evidence of the double anointing. There was twice as many miracles. There's twice as many healings. Elisha did twice as many things as Elijah did. So if Elijah was finished in that cave, none of that would have happened. But God will always have his way. Be encouraged. If you think things are over, don't let the lack of zeal or whatever in your life worry you and get you down. Just get on your knees and build your faith. Because it's the faith that will carry you forward. The enthusiasm and zeal will come back. Amen? Amen. So to Elijah was obedient to God. He got up and he walked away, and we can read about that. But what is faith? You say, oh, I've got to build my faith to build enthusiasm. Well, if you're reading the Bible, you can come across Hebrews 11:1. You know, a little cliche verse in there. It tells us exactly what faith is. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not seen, or evidence of things not seen. So of all the things that we think should be happening, we think of things that God could be calling us to do or is calling us to do, but we don't see them happen. But by faith, they will come to pass. If they're from God or they're part of God's plan for your life, they will come to pass for you. As Joe says, Jeremiah 29:11, I have plans for you, not to harm you, but to make you prosper, etc., etc., etc. And that's for everybody, not just the select few. There is a plan for everybody's life, and we talked about that before Christmas. But the question there is, how do we get this faith, this elusive thing called faith? Well, God gives it to us in the first place. In Romans 12, verse 3, it tells us about that. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Off that wacky-backy there, Joe. Think soberly. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So if you say you can't believe in God, that's nonsense. It's your intellect telling you you're not going to believe in God, because God has given you enough faith to believe in him, to take on the power. When you become a believer, you get everything. You get the full power of the Holy Spirit in you. You can move. You have the full authority because Jesus gave us that authority. Amen. Hallelujah. And let's all move in it. Let's lay hands on the sick and see them healed. Let's lay hands on the possessed and see them released. We won't have people in Cairns possessed, oppressed, or sick, because we're going to be moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not because I say so, but because the Bible tells us we will. Amen. We're going to see great things happen. Move over, devil. The church is coming through. Amen. Oh, hey, hallelujah. God. I'm ready for a cup of coffee. Okay. a whole lot of Jesus and a little bit of coffee. I put that on Facebook, the song. It's a brilliant song. It's how we should all live. Okay. We're going to preach from Hebrews now. No. No, we're not. Okay. The disciples, they wanted to know about faith. They asked him, how do we increase our faith? We heard the other day that they asked Jesus how to pray, and Ben preached on that. I had the joyous task of telling you how to fast. The disciples never asked how to fast, but Jesus told them in his word. So that's why we do it. And you can listen to the podcast, you can grab notes off me, and on Thursday, you can all join in. Because there's only a few of us did it last time. Each time, there's going to be more and more. By the end of the year, we'll all be fasting in different ways, and we'll see the power of God move in remarkable ways in this place. Amen. So when the disciples came to him in Luke 17:5, the apostle said to the Lord, please, increase our faith. Not how do I get it? Oh, come on, Jesus, man, come on, you're the bro. Give us more faith. But Jesus never went on to answer it. He never actually said, this is how you get more faith. As we read the Bible, we can hear, oh, you faithless generation. You people, where's your faith? All these sorts of things, but he never actually told them how to get it. So how do we increase our faith? In Romans 10:17, it tells us. One of those little mysteries of the Bible. So, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's why Ben, Joe, myself, everybody else that takes this pulpit, we preach the word of God. We teach the word of God. And we urge you to look at it yourself. I love finding little gems in the word of God as you're reading, because you read it so many times when you become mature as a Christian. And you think, gee, I never knew that before. I never saw that. But it's the same Bible. It hasn't changed since, this is 20-odd years, this one. A little bit tatty. But it hasn't changed. It's consistent. So faith comes by hearing, as well as being increased by using it. You know, any exercise in the physical realm, who does exercises in the gym, in the park or wherever? I can't put my hand up because that would be a lie. No pretense from the pulpit here. I do not do exercise. But if you do, you'll increase your muscle and you'll increase your stamina. Exercising in the spiritual realm is exactly the same. It brings an increase and strengthens your faith. Use it a little bit, it'll grow. Use it a bit more, it'll grow. Use a bit more, it'll grow. You'll lay hands on a sick and a cold will go. You lay hands on the dead and they'll rise up one day. And I know I've seen people in Myanmar, I've been with people that have laid hands on their sick and seen them healed. I've done that through the Holy Spirit. But I've stood alongside someone that was raised from the dead who subsequently went on and raised several other people from the dead. It's exciting. Go on a mission trip. Meet these people. Why isn't the Holy Spirit doing it here? Don't know. It's the same Holy Spirit here on Ben, on Joe, on Jess, on Simon, on James. Whoever you are, it's exactly the same Holy Spirit that was operating on Jesus or through Jesus and on these people in Burma, India, wherever. Papua New Guinea. Oh, yeah, got to tell you this. Sitting down, having a cup of coffee, a whole lot of Jesus and a little bit of caffeine with Ben the other day. He was telling me about the revival in Papua New Guinea. And I was going, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, excellent. So this is mid-90s. Exciting things happened in the mid-90s, didn't they, Ben? Came to the Lord in the mid-90s? Amen. Thank you, Lord, thank you for your obedience, Ben. He was telling us, and I had goosebumps on me. He was telling me, God was really working. The Holy Spirit was on the children. The children were laid out, crying out to the Lord, prophesying, and then they were telling visions that they'd seen. And I was getting goosebumps, wasn't I? And the same time as this was happening on, I was in India in Assam, and exactly the same thing was happening. I said, Ben, this is so exciting. Let's see this happen here. We were in Assam, which is northeast India, where the tea comes from. And we were there, and these kids got wiped out by the Holy Spirit. They were on the floor, 5, 6-year-olds, crying, weeping, and they started prophesying. Now, I didn't know what they were saying, but the translators translated for us. And what they were doing was they were telling everybody the sins of the elders, the sins of the leadership, what had held down the growth of the church in that part of the country because of selfish gain and that. They were telling them that. and the leaders were repenting. And we saw a great move of the Holy Spirit in a psalm. Not because of who we were, but because the word of God was spoke. We went back, we went back, we went back. So when you do a mission trip to Papua New Guinea or up the Cape, it's not one trip, it's building relationship. Going back, tell the people you love them, and the Holy Spirit loves you, because he will move, because he wants to move, because God's desire is that none should be lost. He doesn't want sickness in the world. He doesn't want people to go to hell. We're going to see some great moves of the Holy Spirit. And the other thing is, when you get in a hotel and you're on a mission trip, and 2 o'clock in the morning, and the parents of these children are out in the power of the Spirit, they come knocking on the door. What's up with my child? Hey, that's cool. You know, just ride with it. But they're anxious. But yeah, these are the things you experience when you go on a mission trip. You got to do it. You got to do it. Because you can bring that excitement back here and bring it to this church. And we can move on because of what you've experienced overseas. Same God, same Holy Spirit. Amen. Exactly the same salvation. So let's start exercising our faith and seeing it grow. To help that growth, we want to read the word for ourselves. Don't just take it on Sunday, what's being read off a slide. There's a whole big book here, and it's fun. Pray, and yes, fasting too. Ooh, yeah, I think we need our three people up. Yeah? Amen. We're no longer just saucepans. We're not the church of the saucepans. We're the church of the body, soul, and spirit. Yeah, we've moved on. Three people, please. YWAM, throw Simon. You're okay. Come on. Oh, gee, you YWAM, you're tired. You haven't got the stamina. God, yes. Okay. Oh, same crew, same crew. Body, soul, spirit. See some continuity here. So for 3 weeks now, we've been using this as an example. It's going to grow and grow because it's not just the same thing. We need a little bit of spacing here. So spirit, come over here. Got some good teaching on the early days of the spirit, man. Come over here, please, body. So yes, fasting. You don't want to hear about fasting, do you? Because you heard a lot of it last week and it was really boring and uninteresting. I could see you all going to sleep. I was going to sleep. But I knew the teaching. I'd done it. But so we have the body here. You start filling yourself up with KFC, McDonald's, good bit of roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. The old soul comes over here. He's very happy with the fleshy bit. But the spirit over here, he's getting a bit lonely. He's not getting fat. And what happens on a Sunday afternoon after you have your big roast dinner? You feel sleepy, don't you? The fleshy side goes sleepy. The soul goes sleepy. And the spirit's over here. Well, man, what's happening? Come on, you know. There's a whole lot of promise in that book, but it's not happening, man. Wait, but the word tells us the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. And it's stuffed. It's full. It's dependent on the food that's been given. Physical food relates to physical dependence. So you start fasting for a little bit. Just coming over. Yeah, not too much. Don't get too zealous. Start fasting a bit. The body starts to get a little bit hungry. The time might be praying, and a little bit of prayer comes through to the spirit. The spirit man. Oh, this is good. And the spirit man here will be communicating with the Holy Spirit, as we've seen and heard already, communicating back and talk to the soul. You're just going to communicate to the Holy Spirit. Okay. This man's got a good mobile plan. Amen. But when then word comes back to the soul, the flesh is going, oh, I don't know. There's a dependency there between give me food. So you get a bit more food, and then the soul comes back to the fleshy part of the body. That's how it is. There's no room for the spirit, man. But you fast, and you fast. And then you might nudge a bit back. But then you're getting hungry over here, the fleshy bits, give me food, food, food. The dependency is there, give me food. The dependency. But if you get used to the fasting, might be one meal, might be one day, might be a Daniel fast, might be whatever you do, you come along. Soul and spirit are communicating more. There's less pullback from the fleshy side. The channels are open. You haven't got four bars on your mobile signal. You've got a blast coming out the top of your phone, a radiant light. You know, it's just empowered. The spirit is communicating with the soul more and more and more. The flesh is out of it. It doesn't matter. Sorry, Simon. It's growing. The Holy Spirit, the spirit man are communicating. They're coming to the soul. The soul is growing. And the spirit man starts off like a little wee thing down here, you know. And then as it gets more and more and more, it comes big. So soon, the spirit man is bigger than the physical man. You know, I'm 5'9" and a little bit broader than perhaps I'd like to be. But the spirit man is bigger. That's how we are. You get a baby Christian, a new Christian. You got a little tiny weeny spirit inside there. Yeah. It's not happening. So you've got to nurture it. You've got to feed the spirit. You've got to let the Holy Spirit communicate. And then you can do amazing things. Think of Samson, strong man. When we see the pictures of Samson, he's a big muscly thing, like Ben here, you know, muscles coming out of his muscles. I don't think that's the case. When we get to heaven and we see, what was Samson really like? He's probably like, let's go Joe. He's got muscles, but he's small. So he's well built. He's smaller. So we've got Joe here as Samson. But supernaturally, he's going to be strong because he's a spirit man. He had his lifestyle before he went astray, of course. But that's how it is. So fast. Give it a go. You might feel hungry, but we don't actually need this. We need to build our dependency on the spiritual realm, not be reliant on the physical realm. That's what happens when we fast. You move your dependency from yourself, your stomach, to the Holy Spirit. And God will provide. We're not talking about going 40 days fasting. If you can't go a meal without fasting or give up some part of your normal diet, well, we'll pray for you because we want it to happen. Not for us, but for you. It's your duty to yourself to fast. Your walk with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father and Jesus. Amen? Amen. There's something else I was going to say there, but I can't think what it is now. I'll have to give the Holy Spirit a nudge and see. So thank you very much, body, soul, and spirit. So that's it. We are no longer saucepans. We're body, soul, and spirit! Amen. We're going to be little body, big spirit. Amen. Okay. Oh, that was a little break, wasn't it? Okay, moving on. God's will. That's what we want to do for us. What does God want us to do? If we move into God's will, we will grow in faith because God's going to ask us to do some amazing things. I can't do it, you say when you hear from God. Well, that's the whole point, isn't it, Ben? Ben said, I can't do it. So God knew he's the right man for the job. We can say we can do it on our own strength. He doesn't need us. God wants people that can't do it in their own strength so he can move supernaturally through them and he can see them move on in the power of the living God. Amen. Walking in righteousness. Pastor Ben was talking about that. You put sin in your life and you've got to put a barrier in there. You can do as much fasting as you like. God's grace may move around that and I'm not going to sort of judge or work anything like that, but let's remove barriers. Walk in the righteousness. We are seen as righteous by God when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's our position of righteousness. But we have an ongoing righteousness to do. We've even got a license to sin. No means no. Paul says, no, it is not a license to sin. If you are saved by Jesus and what he did on the cross, and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you don't want to sin. We're in a fallen world, so we do. That's the way it is until Jesus comes back and we're back to the rapture again, aren't we? And move away from that fan, James. Have me worried because Jesus can go back at any time. Amen. Yeah. So we have to be obedient to that call, step by step. He's not going to call us to do great things on day one. It's a journey. It's a stepping stone. When I went on my first mission trip 20-odd years ago, I didn't know I was going on a mission trip, but I knew God wanted to use me in some ways in missions, and it's not quite how I thought it was going to work out. Hallelujah! That's the surprise in how God works. But one day down in Victoria, I was flat on my back in the power of the Holy Spirit. A friend of mine prayed for me, who was a missionary, Swedish, from Uppsala. Yeah, go around the mission field, you'll see many, many Scandinavians all throughout Southeast Asia. They're all Scandinavians. Why, you may ask? They hate the cold. Yeah, but they love Jesus. Yeah, okay, hallelujah. So anyway, there was flat in the spirit. on the carpet, sat up, got up and went to my friend, and I said, I think God wants me to come to India with you. Who wants to go to India? It's not on my bucket list, I tell you. DM off to India, come on the next trip to India with me, okay? Yeah? No, you pay the fare. It's a much more comfortable way of travel. But my friend said, funny you should ask that, or say that, because I was going to ask you anyway. So it was about 6 weeks later, then I was chuffing off on my first trip. So the first trip, in obedience, that had probably gone back to my childhood, my friend said, can you sort of take photos of things and just, bimble around? And another trip, he said, look, we've got this new gadget now, a video camera. This is what we need for our ministry, a video camera. Those horrible things with tape and all that sort of thing. Yep, so I had the job of taking photographs, occasionally praying for people and holding the video camera. But then as time went on, and this is several trips later into India and Burma and that, suddenly it was, can you do that session? Can you do this session? Can you do this? Until another time, my friend was in Singapore with a heart operation. He said, Tim, we're going to India in a couple of weeks. He said, yeah. He said, I'm in hospital and I can't make it. So, right, okay. Do the guys in India want the program to carry on? I said, yeah, brother. All right then. So we ended up going to India with my daughter and Jess Gunner, as she was back then. Some of you may know her. We were on this mission trip to India, and then eventually my friend came out of hospital and he joined us in Assam, where that other work had been going on. Because you don't go to a place just once, you go again and again and again. And the people say to you, we know you care. And we go, why is that? And they said, because you keep coming back. You go, yeah, okay, that's good. So you're obedient to your call, or the call that God has on you, walking in his will for your life. And as you go on, step by step, your faith will increase because you'll see doing marvelous things through. It doesn't have to be big things. It can be little things. The measure of our success in God's kingdom is not how big the thing is. It's how obedient we are. And our faith, according to that, is what we have within us. And each one of us is different. In James 1:21-25, please. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his face in the mirror. That's why I gave up shaving, so I don't have to keep looking in the mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And she does, not just a he. Not that the women go to the mirror to shave, of course, but it applies to women as well. They will be blessed if they are doers of the word. And the only way you can be a doer of the word is by faith. Be enthusiastic about it, but don't let the enthusiasm drive you. Otherwise, you find you're doing the thing for the wrong reason. Do it in faith. And then a faith will build the enthusiasm. Amen? Amen. We'll be blessed. How are we blessed? We're blessed by being filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll be blessed by being filled with the Word. And we'll be blessed by being filled with faith. Because faith increases. I urge you, try it. Try it, please. Please try it. I can go on and get excited in an array of other motivational ideas and verses and anecdotes and build you up to believe, but that's just going to build up the zealousness in you. I want to build the faith in you, because anybody can build you up in excitement and you go out the door and you wane. It's waning outside now. No. Okay. But we want to strengthen you, build you up to achieve all that God has for you in the life, ready to be a conqueror of the world for Jesus. Tomorrow is another day for you. But if I fail to build your faith, then what have I actually done for you in tomorrow? Nothing. Because you'll go through the same old week as you went through last week. We want you to grow in the Spirit, grow in the things of God, and do greater mighty things. When we come back to the church, we're going to hear testimonies. When we have the coffee upstairs, we're going to hear testimonies of what you've done and what God has done through you, who you've touched, and we're going to meet some of those people. There's power in the blood of Jesus, of course, we know that, and the Holy Spirit working through us, because of your faith. Just because it's red and splodgy, old Jimmy's blood down there didn't do much good for anybody. because it was dried up and no good. But Jesus' blood is living. It was a living sacrifice for a once and for all. And we have to honor that. If we do nothing about it, it's no gain to anybody. But we don't want to see people go by the wayside. We want to see them saved. We want to see them grown up in the power of the Spirit so they can be effective in their lives. It's not about just a few people being successful for God. It's about everybody achieving their goal that God has for them. Jeremiah 29:11 applies to everybody. And they need to be full of enthusiasm and zeal, yes, but full of faith and empowered by the Holy Spirit, walking in His righteousness, being filled with the Holy Spirit every step of the way, working in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and producing the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Which one do you want? I want all of them. I want to lay hands on the sick. I want to be joyous and happy, and I want to, I don't know, I can't remember them off the top of my head, but I want to operate in all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit at the right time to produce the outcome that the Holy Spirit wants in me or through me. And that's how we should all be. When I'm walking along the street, I want people to say, Tim, you're different. Why are you so happy? It's because I have the joy of the Lord in me. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. You can have Him too. Oh, can I? Yes. Heard of Christmas? Heard of Easter? Let me tell you about it. Let me explain it clearly. This is more exciting than the fasting, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, who's here for the fasting talk the other morning? I was here. Who was awake for it? It's Joe's fault. Joe emailed me on Friday. I said, oh, Tim, could you preach on Saturday morning, or Sunday morning, please? I'm crook. And I said, all right, then. See, if you came tonight and Joe as well the other Sunday, you'd be hearing about fasting now because I was going to prepare it for tonight. But I had to do it last Saturday afternoon instead, so we got even better. We got more of the Word of God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what's the time? Who's got to go to work tomorrow? We're not even on the bottom of page 2 yet. The Holy Spirit keeps interrupting. Okay, so we walk in His righteousness, and we've got the power of Jesus in us. The power unto salvation, as the world tells us. What He did for us on the cross. So let's get and talk about a bit of the zeal and lack of faith that we're supposed to be talking about. Ben again talked about it a bit this morning. Matthew 17:14-21. Maybe you won't read it through entirety, but basically a man came up to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, can you please have mercy on my son? Yeah, what is it? Well, your disciples asked them to pray for him, but they couldn't deliver him. They couldn't do anything. So Jesus said, oh, come here. You're delivered. Off you go. Because Jesus didn't do long prayers for people. He just laid hands on them, or He spoke the word, and they were healed, or they were delivered instantly. No long, long prayer and complicated thing, because Jesus was already prayed up, as we heard about the other day. Jesus was prayed up and ready for ministry. So He didn't have to go, oh, dear Lord, and all the rest of it. He just said, be healed. Put this mud in your eye, spit in your face, and you're done. That's good, especially when there's faith, and Jesus has so much faith because He's prayed up. But Jesus, in that passage, when you get down to verse 17, He says, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And of course, Jesus knew because He knows all things, but He was expressing His anxiety. How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And then Jesus explained that this one only came out with prayer and, come on, say it, fasting. Why was it fasting? Was it the power in the fasting? No. It was the fact that the fasting builds up your spirit, man, and builds up your faith and makes you empowered through the power of the Holy Spirit. Fasting does nothing for God or the miracle. It does it for you. It enables you to move on in the power of the Spirit. Amen. And that's where we all want to be. The disciples tried to deliver him but failed. They were full of zeal and excited at being with Jesus. Jesus pumps you up, man. Hey, bro, yeah, John, this is cool, man. Let's lay hands on this person. Oh, gee, bro, nothing's happening. Anything happened for you? No, nothing's happening for me. And nothing happens. But they, with Jesus, they were lacking faith. They didn't understand who they were with and what they had with them. Because Jesus had already given them the authority. It's not like Jesus has yet to give them authority. It's not coming up to the Great Commission. But months beforehand, Jesus gave them full authority. Because Jesus actually sent them off before the 12 disciples. He sent them off to go and do things. He gave them specific instructions. on what to do. He expected them to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. He expected them to trample on snakes and see them trampled, scorpions and not be poisoned and all the rest of it. Jesus expected it to happen. He expected them to have faith. And he sent the 70 out before, or 72, depending which version you actually read. Jesus expected things to happen because he knew how the authority of the Holy Spirit worked through people to bring about healings, deliverance, and salvation, although the salvation was yet to come. But the disciples were zealous, but they had little faith. So we have to make sure that we're not just zealous. We're not having a good time here. We're being empowered by the Holy Spirit, uplifted, uplifted, uplifted to do great and wonderful things for him. Because our enthusiasm will draw people to us, but it won't heal them. It's our faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peter walked on water. His zeal took him. Hey, Jesus, is that you? Yes, you call me. And he goes, yes, Peter, it's me. Come to me. Oh, great. And he's off there on the water. And oh, my goodness me, I'm in the water. And he sunk. He let his zeal take him across the water. But he let his eyes in the natural world say, man, this cannot be happening. And sure enough, it didn't. But Jesus was there to pull him up. He didn't go, ha, ha, ha. He said, come. And he pulled him out and took him back to the boat. Amen. So there's enthusiasm, zeal, but no faith. If there was faith, he would have walked straight off the lake and gone to the beach and started up the barbecue for the others. Because we know Jesus liked a good barbecue, don't we? He ate fish by the side. No pork. I don't eat pork either, so I'm in the spirit, okay? Jesus knew what Peter was like. Again, Peter was so zealous. He said, I'll never leave you, Jesus. I'll stand by the other. They'll run off, they'll leave you, but not me. And Jesus said, bro, man, by the end of the day, you're going to deny me three times. And he's going, no, man, it's not going to happen. But sure enough, there was zeal, but there's no faith. Peter allowed the fear to build up in him. Jesus had been taken away. He saw the angry crowds, and he thought, oi, I'm not going to be part of that. Hey, you, man, you're with Jesus. Not me. This is someone else looked like me. So he said, no. He allowed fear to take his faith away. Peter spoke with faith and boldness and courage when he said, I'll stand by you. We know the Holy Spirit worked through Peter because Ben told us this morning. He revealed who Jesus was. Who do people say I am? Oh, you're the Son of the living God. Woohoo! Holy Spirit working through you, Peter. And 5 minutes later, get behind me, Satan. Because Peter was up and he was down. He had the zeal, up and down. He had the faith, bimbling along. Even when Peter was in jail, we saw the zeal. He was in the prison after Jesus had descended to heaven. He was praying for his release. There was believers full of zeal and encouragement. They were praying and they were fasting. Yeah, praying and fasting for him through the night. They did that, saying, Lord, free Peter. Peter's a good guy. Free him, free him. What's that? There's a knock on the door. There's a knock on the door. No. Peter walks out of that jail and thinks he's in a dream. He doesn't realize it's happening. He hasn't got enough faith to know it's actually happening. He thinks he's seeing a vision or he's in a dream and he walks out of that jail. He comes up to the house and he knocks on the door. The people that are praying for him, full of zeal and excitement and encouragement, didn't have enough faith to think, knock on the door, it must be Peter. No one jumped up and said that, but little Rhonda or Rhoda went to open the door. It's Peter. Went back in to tell them. Did they believe it was Peter? No, they shut the door and left him out there. They had to go back three times. Ben came up to open the door. Are you sure it's Peter out there? Came up, opened the door. Oh, it's Peter. He went in. So, full of zeal and enthusiasm, but no faith. I'd rather have plenty of faith than no zeal and enthusiasm. Oh, man, get healed in the name of Jesus. And by the time you've been on a mission trip and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you are praying for hundreds of people and your throat is going and all you want is to go to bed and have a drink of water, you are not praying with power through zeal and enthusiasm. You are praying by the faith of the living God for the Holy Spirit to work in that person that has stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning to be prayed for because they have the faith to be healed. So you honor that and you pray for them and your throat goes and you're thirsty and you're tired and you go, not again, I've got to prepare my message for tomorrow. Yes, I wonder what they're cooking in the thing. You have to be healed. But you do it. You let the faith grow in you. Amen. Oh, gee. Okay. So, when the 70 came back and said, wow, we've been laying hands on the people and we've been seeing them healed. We've been laying hands on the sick. We've been seeing demons go. They were thrilled. They were excited. They'd gone out with faith and zeal. They'd come back with faith and zeal. They'd seen the power of the Spirit move through them and they were excited. And Jesus was happy for them. They're going, man, Jesus, even the spirits were fleeing in your name. There's no pretense. It wasn't by their power. They knew it was in his name. And Jesus goes, yeah, right. I expected that to happen. But don't be so happy that the spirits are fleeing in my name. What you want to really be happy about is that your name is written in heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life. Be happy about that. Let that build your faith and let that give you the enthusiasm. Because if you know that, the world can throw everything at you and it means nothing. Because at the end of the day, like Billy Graham, like Moses, not Moses the Old Testament, but our brother Moses, you're going to heaven. Amen. That's where we want to be, speaking the same language, sharing the stories, meeting the people that we thought we'd like to meet from the Bible. And, of course, reunited with loved ones that are a cloud of witness. Amen. So Jesus was pleased for him. It wasn't unexpected to him, but he directed the people's focus. Because the zeal of healing someone will go away. We get excited by it, but if you know your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're going to heaven, that is going to keep your faith and that's going to keep your excitement to do it again and again and again. Because you do anything for long enough and it becomes monotonous. You can lay hands on the sick and you go, ho-hum, you know. Yeah, but there's a joy in it because you're normally, if you're on a mission trip doing an outreach or something, that person, not only have they been healed, they're seeing the power of the living God for the very, very first time and you're taking them down the road of salvation. Not because of what you did, but because what has been spoken through them into their lives. They can believe in it. On the other side of the coin, there was these people going around casting out demons, but they weren't one of the disciples. They were full of enthusiasm because they knew who Jesus was. They'd seen what's happened and they thought, well, we can do some of that. So they were laying hands on people and seeing demons flee. And the disciples were going, hey, what's going on here, man? What are you guys doing? You can't be doing that. But Jesus said, let them. You don't have to be in with the in crowd. You just have to lay hands on the sick because the Holy Spirit's working through you. He doesn't care who you are or what clique you're in or whatever. You don't have to be one of the 12. You can be anybody. Lay hands on the sick. By the power of the Holy Spirit, they will be healed. If they're possessed, lay hands on them and let that demon flee. If they're not a believer, share with them the gospel message, because if you don't get them saved, the Holy Spirit will not enter them and they'll be worse off than when you first met them. And you don't want that hanging on you. Bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ if you can. And of course, all you can do is share the joy of the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit minister to that person. You go, hey man, brother, I just cleared you of demons. You've got to believe in Jesus now. You put him in a half Nelson, it's not going to happen. Just do it gently. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. The centurion, a Roman centurion, he knew about authority and he had enough faith to know that Jesus would heal. He wasn't exactly zealous. Can you imagine a joyous, zealous Roman centurion? They had to speak Latin for a start. You know, that does not make anybody joyous. And they were ugly, aggressive, angry people. He was not zealous about anything, but he knew that Jesus had the authority to heal his daughter. So he just went up to him. I understand your authority, man. Just say the word and she'll be healed. And she was. She was indeed, and we read about it today, because not of his zeal, but because of his faith. Because Jesus said, I have never seen so much faith as this man. And he's not one of you Jewish guys. He's not one of you in crowd that hangs around me. He's a Roman centurion, for goodness sake. He's got more faith than you. And it's written in his book for all time. And he's going to be one of the characters that's going to be really good to meet up in heaven. Because we can actually talk to him and ask him, what's it like to wear that full armor of the flesh and the full armor of God? Because he knows. Oy, okay. Full of zeal and faith. The apostles, they were snowed under with work in the days of the early church. They were doing the ministering. They were getting into helping people and doing all sorts of things. They just couldn't do it. And things started to fall apart. They couldn't focus on the word of God and the ministry that they were called to. So they thought, well, we've got to divvy this out. Okay. Who can we give this job to? You know, feeding the widows, I think it was. Yeah, feeding the widows. He didn't pick anybody. Oh, you'll do it at the back. Yeah, new Christian, let's jump on you and give all the tasks because you're a new Christian and you're keen and eager. We'll get you something going to keep you busy. They were looking for people that were qualified. They were looking for people that had a good reputation. They were filled with wisdom and filled with the Holy Spirit. These were super qualified people. So when someone at the church here, Paul, for example, or Jen is saying, can we have people to help in a children's church? It's not the lowest of the low thing to do. It's as great as being up here. It's as great as being a missionary. It is part of the ministry of God. We don't want just anybody also around. We want someone that's full of integrity, who is good with children, they've got the natural abilities, but they are filled with wisdom and the Holy Spirit. When you've got 20 kids running amok there, you don't want them to panic. You don't want them to start swearing. You don't want them to pull their hair out and run out that door. You want them to minister the truth of the gospel to our little darlings because they're the future of the church. Everybody in every area of ministry has to be pre-qualified by the Holy Spirit being in them, empowering them and letting them know that is their call. They're not just doing it to fill a spot. Their call on life is teaching Sunday school. Their call on life is to go on a mission trip with Joe or working upstairs serving out the food. It is all important. Everybody you come into contact with in this church, they're ministering to you in any way, are filled with the Holy Spirit. They're people of character and they have wisdom and they're operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some in more ways, some in less ways, but they're all being obedient to the call in their life. And any part of ministry is not always forever. I don't want to look after children for the next 20 years. I don't want to go on 20 mission trips with Joe. Everything is for a season. By being obedient in one thing, you are learning things. You are learning to walk in the Spirit, being obedient to the living God, and He will move you on into other things. It may be your niche. Carol and I used to teach Sunday school many, many years ago in England. I've gone on many mission trips. I'm up here, done different things. But if you said to me 20, 30 years ago, you're going to be up here speaking, I'd go, what? Me? No. Now, I know I don't have the big, deep voice of Ben or the big, booming voice of Joe. I'm the pastor with the squeaky voice, yeah? But it's a power of the Holy Spirit that's working through me. Yeah, amen. We don't all act the same way. And I'm not always the same. Like last Sunday morning, I know I was boring as. But today, I've got an exciting subject to speak on. Yeah. But fasting may be boring, but you need to know about it. If no one teaches you about fasting, no one will. Because I know you're not going to read about it in here. Because you have to dive into the Bible to find out about fasting. There's no clear-cut way. The disciples said, teach us how to pray. And it's lovely. It's written out there. Everybody knows how to pray. And Ben explained it clearer. So we're all praying. We already prayed a lot anyway, didn't we? But we didn't all fast because we don't know about it. And we push it down out of our minds. The Bible is full of gems. If you read it yourself. Look at Peter. He was full of excitement and zeal. Just one more little thing to finish with on there. Mount Transfiguration. Jesus goes up the mount and he gets transfigured, which means he's all glowing and white and shiny and bright and no one can look at him without their polarized sunglasses because the power of God is upon him. Alongside Jesus appears, I feel like we almost had to have three people, but we haven't got enough time for that. Along is Elijah, we talked about him earlier, and there's Moses, not our brother that passed away last week, but the Moses of the Old Testament. They were there with Jesus on top of the mountain, having a jolly old time. Who was with Jesus? Peter, James, and John. Exciting? No. When you read it, nothing happens. It's not an exciting bit of the Bible. But if no one teaches about it, how will you know about it? They went up there. What is there to teach about it, you say? Well, first of all, Peter was full of his usual enthusiasm. Hey, this is good! Let's build three shelters and stay up here. Good one, bro. It ain't going to happen. When Peter sort of turned around, he saw Elijah, Moses, had gone. And the voice of God came down. This is my son. Listen to him. Oh. So what do we learn from that? Firstly, that Jesus is the Son of God. No pretense about it. God himself proclaimed, this is my son. He already says, yes, there's a God up here and I believe in him. But no, Jesus was just a good man. No, God up there said, this is my son. One of the few times in the Bible where it's declared so clearly and beautifully. But that's not all. Simple bit of thing, a few verses. Who was up there with Jesus? Elijah and Moses. Moses representing the Ten Commandments, the law. Yeah. Elijah representing the prophets. The prophets were proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. Jesus is a personality of grace. It was all about saying the law has gone. The time of the prophets has gone. It is now the time of grace because Jesus Christ has come. Amen. Amen. And you go, no. Sorry. Well, who was up there with them? Peter, James, and John. You look through the Bible and they're quite often together. Peter, James, and John. What does Peter mean? Peter, Petros, the rock. What's the rock symbolize? The tablets that the Ten Commandments were written on. Peter, the rock, is representing the law. Full of his enthusiasm, zeal, God bless him, and we will meet him upstairs, but not probably at the pearly gates. But we will meet him. James. What does James mean? James means supplanter. Do you know that? James? Supplanter. Things are a-changing. You supplanted your sickness for health. Amen? Amen. And John. My middle name, John. What does John mean? Grace. So what does that tell us? Peter, James, and John. The law is supplanted by grace. Just a few verses in the Bible. We could have done a whole sermon on that one, but we did it in 4 minutes. If you read the Bible yourself, you'll see these wonderful little things because the Holy Spirit will reveal them to you. I get excited about that. It gives me full of zeal and energy, and that helps build my faith because I'm in the Word again, and the Word is where I get my strength, and I just love it. Got many, many more in the months to come, if Ben will let me have the microphone again. Many, many more of those little gems come out, but I can't give them all today because I'm excited about it. I could, but you've got to go to bed and drink coffee and go to work tomorrow and all these little things that get in the way of the life of the Spirit-filled man, but we have to do them because we live in a fallen world. So maybe we could have the music team up and we can think of wrapping up. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Okay. So he sent us the Holy Spirit as our helper. So we're not doing these things on our own. He's empowered us by the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that was in Jesus. He's on us today as believers. I'm not here to build you up with excitement and joy and a zealous for doing the work. I want to build you up in faith so that you can do great things for him. So let's be zealous in what we do, full of zeal and enthusiasm for God, but let us work because we have faith. Let's work because we are saved through faith, because we want to see other people saved through faith, because of the grace of God upon us. We want to do great things for him. We want to be obedient to his call on our lives, to see the supernatural move in great ways. And, as we said, move over, devil, because the church is coming through. Amen. Let us be obedient. Let us do that and build up our faith. So, the musicians are going to play in Papua New Guinean or in English. Something or other. The key of, I'm getting musical here, great things. But look, if you want prayer, if you feel that you need to have more faith, I can tell you to do the things like pray yourself, read the Bible, pray and fast from the 21st for the 21 days, whatever. But you can do that. But yeah, if you want prayer, if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, well, this is the joy of the Spirit in you tonight. You can have it too. So you haven't got it. If you want to receive it, please come down and someone will pray for you and help you receive the same Holy Spirit that we have within us and the gift of salvation that God freely gives to each and every one of us through the faith in him by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you want deliverance, if you want healing, come forward. If you're already a believer and you want to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, we have to do a whole lesson on that one so you can understand the ins and outs of that. And then we can, you can join in. Yeah, okay. Hey, why not indeed? Hey, we've got someone for the party. Okay, but if you want to be received by the Holy Spirit and baptized in Him without knowing what it's all about, we'll lay hands on you and pray for you. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. Let's be obedient. Come forward. We're happy to pray for you for anything, anything you like. And I just thank you. Thank you indeed. Bless you all. Let's move forward in the Spirit.